If I could have everybody's attention, it's 10:02. We'll call the meeting to order. First item on our agenda today is election of the 2014 chairperson and vice chairperson, and the committee will entertain a motion for chairperson.
I move John Stoll.
We have a motion for John Stoll for chairperson and a second. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Congratulations, John.
Thanks.
Next up is vice chairperson, and the committee will entertain a motion for that position. I'll nominate Ron London for vice chairperson. We have a motion and a second for Ron London for vice chairperson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So ordered. Congratulations, Ron. With that, I'll turn the meeting over to the new chairperson.
Next on the agenda, we've got the approval of minutes from last meeting. Is there any changes in minutes? And if not, do we have a motion for approval?
I'll make a motion.
Yeah, I'll second. I remember that it was good.
Motion and a second. All in favor of approval of minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And next up, we've got old business, and Laura will give us a project update.
Okay, starting off with the City of Evansville, we have three projects for which RFPs for preliminary engineering and right-of-way services have been posted with a response date of February 28th. Those projects are the Covert Avenue Road Diet, the Weinbach Avenue Road Diet, and the Washington Avenue 2nd Street, Parrott Street area improvements. For the Pigeon Creek Greenway Passage Project, we have the ARC Glenwood High Rail Corridor, and a preliminary field check meeting was held January 23rd. And for the T-Couple Safe Route to School, a coordination meeting with T-Couple School and local officials was held January 29th. On page 3 for Vandenberg County, the Burkhart Road, Virginia Street intersection improvements, right-of-way acquisition continues. The project is currently posted on NDOT's website with a September 10th letting date. For the Green River Road improvements from Millersburg Road to Kansas Road, the project is currently out for bid. Bids will be open on February 11th, and barring any high bids, the contract should be awarded on February 25th. For the town of Newburgh, we have the Newburgh Safe Routes to School. A notice to proceed has been issued and preliminary engineering is underway. For the Newburgh Rivertown Trail, preliminary right-of-way services are underway. And for the Newburgh sign replacement project, which jumps over to page 4, the CES form, which is the cost effectiveness form, was returned again to the LCA for additional revision. For NDOT projects, we have the US Highway 41 Lloyd Expressway interchange. The letting date was moved to January 29th, and the final results have yet to be posted. And moving on to page 6 for KYTC, we have the EC Brevet Parkway and Kentucky 416 interchange project. The project has been let for construction. Those are all the updates that I have. Are there any questions about those or additions?
So, John, they did just have to go 5 lengths of 3 minutes.
It would be 5 on the second way out of the bid right now between Millersburg and Kansas. But Kansas North Road will obviously be free.
Well, that was on contract at this time.
Any questions for Laura? We'll move on to new business. And the first item there is the Henderson Bicycle Pedestrian Master Plan and Aaron.
Yeah, the NPO has been working for about the past year with City and County of Henderson and the Bicycle Advisory Committee. We posted the plan last week on our website, so hopefully everyone had a chance to take a look at that. Throughout the process, we held two public meetings. The first one was an initial visioning workshop to get the public, you know, their initial input, see where they thought the plan should be going. And then we worked a lot with the Bicycle Advisory Committee. They worked on determining goals and objectives, alternatives, and then the final proposed network. And then the final proposed network in the plan includes almost 140 miles of bike lanes, signed routes, shared lanes, and separated paths. And we're proposing to have that implemented over a 5-year period. So, kind of a brief overview. If anyone has any questions, try to answer those. But if not, I think we would like to have the board's approval.
So it looks like the majority of this is just going to be re-signage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the majority of the project is.
Yeah, a lot of it is signed out.
Any other questions for Aaron? If not, is there a motion to approve the plan?
Aye.
Got a motion. Is there a second? All in favor of the plan?
Aye.
Motion passes. And next up on new business, we've got the urban area boundary review for Henderson.
Okay. I'm Steve Ross, with the Transportation Academy in Franklin. We have recently sent out, the state of Kentucky has sent out some guidance and maps showing the urban boundaries from the 2010 census, and we are in the process of making adjustments to those boundaries, so we're going to have our highway district offices working with local officials from the small urban areas throughout Kentucky. For the larger areas, the MPO areas, we're needing to work with the MPOs. So I just wanted to just give you all an idea about when we are expecting suggested or recommended adjustments from you all, and we're looking at March 31st. That's a soft date that we need adjustments. The maps that we have shared with everybody show the boundaries for the 2010 census. They also include the urban area boundaries that we submitted back in 2000 when we had that census update. So I don't think everybody has copies of those maps, but they are available. We'll make sure that we'll ask the MPO to make sure that they're distributed to you all. They also show the corporate boundaries. It's important to point out that the boundaries that we're talking about right now that we're updating have nothing to do with the incorporated or urban boundaries. Or any political boundaries, they're just for transportation purposes. So that could affect functional classification and statistical reporting that we do. It also affects outdoor advertising, whether or not it's on an urban or in a rural area. So we've got guidelines out there. We've got some maps. On Friday, we are having a webinar for our highway district officers so that they can call in and get a little better educated on what's expected. In a week or two, it's our plan to have a similar webinar for the MPO that they can call in, that you all can call in. And if you have any questions, ask them at that point. Of course, you know you ask questions. Are there any questions right now about this process? Oh, one more thing I didn't share with you. How to submit adjustments, we're pretty open to just about any way you can submit it. You can either submit it with a GIS shape file, or you can just draw on a map where the adjusted boundaries should go. And finally, the least desirable, but if you just want to use a narrative description, text description of what those boundaries should be, that would also be accepted. And if you do make adjustments on a map, if you could just state the reason for the adjustments, that would also be helpful. And we will be working on the adjustments. What you're submitting may not be final. We'll continue to make adjustments, and we'll look at any recommendations made, and then we will submit that to Federal Highways, and they will also have the last say in what you said. Any questions?
So then it looks like it got smaller. From 2000 to 2010?
Is that right? Depends on what they choose. Their minimum geography has to be based on that they continuously go outward from the city core and pick up the last census block or block group or census tract where they have more than 500 people per square mile. So that's the process that they go through, and they can come up with basically census came up with the green boundary. But we are allowed to adjust it because we know the local, conditions better. If we think that there's going to be more people moving into the outer edges of the census boundary, we could adjust it and make it to, our adjusted organization. We went through this process for the Indiana side last year, and we submitted both the GIS and also a hard copy of the signature software on the board, so we probably will go through the same process this time.
Okay.
And that's
local
media. Last time we met with Pat and John and Bobby Howard from Lloyd County.
There are some advantages of some.
Am I looking at this correctly? Does the census urban area boundary, does it not have to be contiguous?
There is a leap and jump rule. Do you know about that rule, Steve?
It has to be. What I've read in the guidance is that it does have to be contiguous. And there is a jump, but it has to be a certain distance.
It's then half a mile or 1 mile or something like that. There is different rules for that. I don't remember them right now, but I just looked it up.
I was just curious. I did notice that little gap there.
That's a good catch, because I hadn't noticed that was not contiguous. But back in 2000, when we went through the process, you can see that the boundary was expanded out to the fringe areas of the Vichy region. And the only other hard fast rule that they're giving is that you can't contract the area. It can only expand. You have to keep at least the urbanized area that's been provided, and then keep it contiguous. No pockets inside either.
And one other thing is actually the Indiana and Henderson side, both are, considered urbanized area together. It's called Eventually Indiana, Kentucky urbanized area. Even though there is a gap off the Big Ohio River, we have a connection between the two sides, so it is still considered a contiguous area because there is a link between both sides of the region. So,
yeah.
That's one of the rules out there.
I know the
They contacted us last time when they were working on the Indiana side, and we had some families to see last week. So we are going to have consultations with the local partners.
I'm going to go back.